Food and Agriculture. Section 2. Crops and Soil. Much of the Earth's surface cannot be farmed. Only about 10% of the Earth's surface is arable land, land that can be used to grow crops. Urban areas occupy about 3% of the Earth's land surface and are expanding, often into arable land. We need to use our remaining arable land as efficiently as possible for it to continue to grow enough food for the world. Agriculture, traditional and modern. The basic processes of farming include plowing, fertilization, irrigation, and pest control. In traditional agriculture, plows are pushed by the farmer or pulled by livestock. Plowing helps crops grow by mixing soil nutrients, loosening soil particles, and uprooting weeds. Organic fertilizers, such as manure, are used to enrich the soil so that plants grow strong and healthy. Fields are irrigated by water flowing through ditches. Weeds are removed by hand or machine. These traditional techniques have been used since the earliest days of farming, centuries before tractors and pesticides were invented. In industrialized countries, the basic processes of farming are now carried out using modern agricultural methods. Machinery powered by fossil fuels is now used to plow the soil and harvest crops, as shown in Figure 7. Synthetic chemical fertilizers are now used instead of manure and plant wastes to fertilize soil. A variety of overhead sprinklers and drip systems may be used for irrigation, and synthetic chemicals are used to kill pests. Fertile soil, the living earth. Soil that can support the growth of healthy plants is called fertile soil. Plant roots grow in topsoil, the surface layer of soil, which is usually richer in organic matter than the subsoil is. Fertile topsoil is composed of living organisms, rock particles, water, air, and organic matter, such as dead and decomposing organisms. Most soil forms when rock is broken down into smaller and smaller fragments by wind, water, and chemical weathering. Chemical weathering happens when the minerals in the rock react chemically with substances such as water to form new materials. Temperature changes and moisture cause rock to crack and break apart, which creates smaller particles on which the seeds of pioneer plants fall and take root. It can take hundreds or even thousands of years to form a few centimeters of soil. Other processes also help to produce fertile topsoil. The rock particles supply mineral nutrients to the soil. Fungi and bacteria live in the soil. They decompose dead plants and organic debris and add more nutrients to the soil. Earthworms, insects, and other small animals help plants grow by breaking up the soil and allowing air and water into it. Table 2 lists some of the organisms that live in fertile soil. As you can see in Figure 8, several layers of soil lie under the topsoil. The bottom layer is bedrock, which is the solid rock from which most soil originally forms. Soil erosion, a global problem. Erosion is the movement of rock and soil by wind and water. Eroded soil washes into nearby rivers or is blown away in clouds of dust. In the United States, about half of the original topsoil has been lost to erosion in the past 200 years. Figure 9 shows potential soil erosion worldwide. Without topsoil, crops cannot be grown. Most farming methods increase the rate of soil erosion. Plowing loosens the soil and removes plants that hold the soil in place. When water from irrigation runs off the land, it carries some of the soil with it. Land degradation. Land degradation happens when human activity or natural processes damage the land so that it can no longer support the local ecosystem. In areas with dry climates, desertification can result. Desertification is the process by which land in arid or semi-arid areas becomes more desert-like. Desertification has happened in the Sahel region of northern Africa. In the past, people who lived in the drier parts of the Sahel grazed animals. People who lived in parts of the Sahel with more rainfall planted crops. The grazing animals were moved from place to place to find food. The cropland was planted for only a few years, and then the land was allowed to lie fallow or to remain unplanted for several years. These practices allowed the land to support the people in the Sahel. But the population in the region has grown, and the land is being farmed, grazed, and deforested faster than it can regenerate. Now, too many crops are planted too frequently, and fallow periods are being shortened or eliminated. As a result, the soil is losing its fertility and productivity. Because of overgrazing, the land has fewer plants to hold the topsoil in place. So, large areas have become desert and can no longer produce food. Soil conservation. There are many ways of protecting and managing topsoil to reduce erosion. Soil usually erodes downhill, and many soil conservation methods are designed to prevent downhill erosion, as shown in Figure 10. Building soil-retaining terraces across a hillside may be cost-effective for producers of valuable crops, such as wine grapes and coffee. On gentler slopes, contour plowing is used. This method includes plowing across the slope of a hill instead of up and down the slope. An even more effective method of plowing is leaving strips of vegetation across the hillside instead of plowing the entire slope. These strips catch soil and water that run down the hill. Overhead irrigation tends to wash away soil. Soil and water can be conserved by using drip irrigation instead. In traditional farming, after a crop is harvested, the soil is plowed to turn it over and bury the remains of the harvested plants. In no-till farming, shown in Figure 11, a crop is harvested without turning over the soil. Later, the seeds of the next crop are planted among the remains of the previous crop. The remains of the first crop hold the soil in place while the new crop develops. No-till farming saves time compared with conventional methods. It can also reduce soil erosion to 1/10 of the erosion caused by traditional methods. However, no-till farming may not be suitable for some crops. Other disadvantages can include soil that is too densely packed and lower crop yields over time. Enriching the soil. In traditional farming, the soil is enriched by adding organic matter, such as manure and leaves, to the soil. As the organic matter decomposes, it adds nutrients to the soil and improves the texture of the soil. However, inorganic fertilizers that contain nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium have changed farming methods. Without these fertilizers, world food production would be less than half of what it is today. Over the past 50 years, the use of such fertilizers has increased rapidly, as shown in Figure 12. A modern method of enriching the soil is to use both organic and inorganic fertilizers by adding compost and chemical fertilizers to the soil. Compost is partly decomposed organic material. Compost comes from many sources. For example, you can buy composted cow manure in a garden store. Also, many cities and industries now compost yard waste and crop wastes. This compost is sold to farmers and gardeners, and the process is saving costly landfill space. Salinization. The accumulation of salts in the soil is known as salinization. Salinization is a major problem in places such as California and Arizona, which have low rainfall and naturally salty soil. In these areas, irrigation water comes from rivers or groundwater, which is saltier than rainwater. When water evaporates from irrigated land, salts are left behind. Eventually, the soil may become so salty that plants cannot grow. Irrigation can also cause salinization by raising the groundwater level temporarily. Once groundwater comes near the surface, the groundwater is drawn up through the soil like water is drawn up through a sponge. When the water reaches the surface, the water evaporates and leaves salts in the soil. Salinization can be slowed if irrigation canals are lined to prevent water from seeping into the soil, or if the soil is watered heavily to wash out salts. Pest control. In North America, insects eat about 13% of all crops. Crops in tropical climates suffer even greater insect damage because the insects grow and reproduce faster in these climates. In Kenya, for example, insects destroy more than 25% of the nation's crops. Worldwide, pests destroy about 33% of the world's potential food harvest. As shown in Figure 13, insects are one of several types of organisms considered pests. A pest is any organism that occurs where it is not wanted, or that occurs in large enough numbers to cause economic damage. Humans try to control populations of many types of pests, including many plants, fungi, and microorganisms. Wild plants often have more protection from pests than crop plants do. Wild plants grow throughout a landscape, so pests have a harder time finding and feeding on a specific plant. Crop plants, however, are usually grown together in large fields, which provides pests with a one-stop source of food. Wild plants are also protected from pests by a variety of pest predators that live on or near the plants. Some wild plants have even evolved defenses to many pests, such as poisonous chemicals that repel pests. Pesticides. Many farmers rely on pesticides to produce their crops. Pesticides are chemicals used to kill insects, weeds, and other crop pests. During the last 50 years, scientists invented many new pesticides. The pesticides were so effective that farmers began to rely on them almost completely to protect their crops from pests. However, pesticides can also harm beneficial plants and insects, wildlife, and even people. Pesticide resistance. You might think that the most effective way to get rid of pests is to spray often with large amounts of pesticides, as shown in Figure 14. However, over time, this approach usually makes the pest problem worse. Pest populations may evolve resistance, the ability to survive exposure to a particular pesticide. More than 500 species of insects have developed resistance to pesticides since the 1940s. Human health concerns. Pesticides are designed to kill organisms, so they may also be dangerous to humans. For example, in some areas, fruit and vegetable farmers use large amounts of pesticides on their crops. Cancer rates among children in these areas are sometimes higher than the national average, and nervous system disorders may be common. Workers in pesticide factories may also become ill, and people who live near these factories may be endangered by accidental chemical leaks. People who apply pesticides need to follow safety guidelines to protect themselves. Pollution and persistence. The problem of pesticides harming people and other organisms is especially serious with pesticides that are persistent. Persistent pesticides do not break down rapidly into harmless chemicals when they enter the environment. As a result, they accumulate in the water and soil. Some persistent pesticides have been banned in the United States, but many of them remain in the environment for many years. DDT, a persistent pesticide banned in the United States in the 1970s, can still be detected in the environment and has even been found in women's breast milk. Biological pest control. Most farmers practice some form of pest management. Biological pest control is the use of living organisms to control pests. Every pest has enemies in the wild, and these enemies can sometimes be used to control pest populations, as shown in Figure 15. One of the first recorded examples of biological control was in India in the mid-1800s. American prickly pear cactus had been introduced into India to feed insects that are used to make a valuable red dye. Because the cactus had no natural enemies in India, the cactus grew and spread. The plants were finally controlled by the introduction of an American beetle that eats the cactus. Pathogens. Organisms that cause disease, called pathogens, can also be used to control pests. One of the most common pathogens used to control pests is the bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis, often abbreviated BT. This bacterium can kill the caterpillars of moths and butterflies that we consider to be pests. Plant defenses. Scientists and farmers have bred plant varieties that have defenses against pests. For example, if you buy tomato plants or seeds, you may see that they are labeled VNT. This label means they are resistant to certain fungi, worms, and viruses. Examples of plant defenses include chemical compounds that repel pests and physical barriers, such as tougher skin. Chemicals from plants. Another type of biological pest control also makes use of plants' defensive chemicals. For example, chemicals found in chrysanthemum plants are now sold as pesticides. Most insect sprays that contain these chemicals are designed for use in the home because they are less harmful to humans and pets. These products are biodegradable, which means that they are broken down by bacteria and other decomposers. Disrupting insect breeding. If you have a dog, you may feed it a pill once a month to keep it free of fleas. The pill contains a growth regulator, a chemical that interferes with some stage of a pest's life cycle. When a flea sucks the dog's blood, the flea ingests the growth regulator. The regulator stops the flea's eggs from developing into adult fleas. Pheromones, chemicals produced by one organism that affect the behavior of another organism, can also be used in pest control. For example, female moths release pheromones that attract males from miles away. By treating crops with pheromones, farmers can confuse the male moths and interfere with the mating of the moths. Another way to prevent insects from reproducing is to make it physically impossible for the males to reproduce. For example, male insects are treated with X-rays to make them sterile and then are released. When they mate with females, the females produce eggs that do not develop. Integrated pest management. Integrated pest management is a modern method of controlling pests on crops. The steps involved in integrated pest management are shown in Figure 16. The goal of integrated pest management is to reduce pest damage to a level that causes minimal economic damage. A different management program is developed for each crop. The program can include a mix of farming methods, biological pest control, and chemical pest control. Each of these methods is used at the appropriate time in the growing season. Fields are monitored from the time the crops are planted. When significant pest damage is found, the pest is identified. Then a program to control the pest is created. Biological methods are the first methods used to control a pest. So, natural predators, pathogens, and parasites of the pest may be introduced. Cultivation controls, such as vacuuming insects off the plants, can also be used. As a last resort, small amounts of insecticides may be used. The insecticides are changed over time to reduce the ability of pests to evolve resistance. Engineering a better crop. Plant breeding has been used since agriculture began. Farmers select the plants that have the tastiest tomatoes and the least pest damage. They save seeds from these plants to use in planting the next crop. The selected seeds are more likely to contain the genes for large, tasty fruits and for pest resistance than seeds from other plants are. A faster way of creating the same result is to use genetic engineering, the technology in which genetic material in a living cell is modified for medical or industrial use. Genetic engineering involves isolating genes from one organism and implanting them into another. Scientists may use genetic engineering to transfer desirable traits, such as resistance to certain pests. The plants that result from genetic engineering are called genetically modified, or GM, plants. Figure 17 shows an example of the steps used to produce a GM plant. In this case, the gene introduced into the plant is not a plant gene. It is an insecticide gene from BT, a bacterium that produces a chemical that kills plant-eating caterpillars, but does not harm other insects. Plants that have the BT gene make this insecticide within their leaves. Hundreds of gene transfers have now been performed to create many other GM crops. Implications of genetic engineering. In the United States, we now eat and use genetically engineered agricultural products every day. Many of these products have not been fully tested for their environmental impacts, and some scientists warn that these products will cause problems in the future. For example, genes are sometimes transferred from one species to another in the wild. Suppose a corn plant that was genetically engineered to be resistant to a pesticide were to pass the resistance genes to a wild plant. That wild plant might be a pest that could not be killed by that pesticide. Sustainable agriculture. Farming that conserves natural resources and helps keep the land productive indefinitely is called sustainable agriculture. Also called low-input farming, sustainable agriculture minimizes the use of energy, water, pesticides, and fertilizers. This method involves planting productive, pest-resistant crop varieties that require little energy, pesticides, fertilizers, and water. Figure 18 shows an experimental farm where new sustainable agriculture techniques are being researched. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.